When I break down why I'm so disgusted with what Shonen Jump just did with their latest cancellation right now, you're gonna be like, oh my god, what the heck is going on? Make sure to subscribe and hit that bell because you gotta be notified when there's some BS going on around the world of anime and manga. But fam, y'all don't even know right now because we got a whole bunch of stuff. First of all, we finally got the official halfway mark sales for all of the manga of the industry. A new Dragon Ball Super trailer with Goten and Trunks got everyone going nuts. As I said, a cancellation that has me absolutely disgusted, and there's just so much more that we gotta go into in this episode of
Forever News,
the only news source that provides anything and everything anime and manga related, and we don't bore you. We get into it. Let's do it.
No matter how you know, get it done. No matter how you know, get it done. No matter how you know, get it done. No matter how you know, get it done.
Yeah, people, I am going to lie. This episode, we got to start a little bit on 10 because I can't start off with love when I'm upset in terms of what Shonen Jump just did to Aya Shimon. In case you don't know, the creator of Hell's Paradise had a new manga, Aya Shimon, that had a lot of potential. Same scenario you've heard time and time again that I reported of like Hungry Joker, Barrage, Iron Knight, Red Sprite, you name it. The cancellations of the series that have the potential because the Japanese readers aren't immediately gravitating, it pisses us off. But what they just did with Aya Shimon, is there even any point in investing in reading a weekly Shonen Jump manga anymore unless it has a full-on anime announcement or something like that, or it's already completed? Because this is outright like disrespectful towards the fans. Like, this is straight up Shonen Jump saying, you know what, we appreciate that y'all supported for 25 chapters Aya Shimon by the creator of Hell's Paradise, very big deal, screw you, we don't care, we don't care. Or you could even throw it on Nujikaku. I don't know who made the call to do this, but fam, in case you don't read Aya Shimon, I'm gonna fill you in on the very last chapter, the very ending of how this series ends. Because you ready for it? You ready for it? It has no ending. That's like if right now in the middle of my sentence, and that's vital information that you just missed out on, right? Nah, relax. That was just an editing trick. I didn't say nothing. I just wanted to give you a demonstration of it ended horribly with no ending. That's right, people. Literally, the last page of Aya Shimon is just in the middle of a fight. If that isn't cancellation at its absolute worst, nothing is. Like, how do you do that? How do you go into a story? How do you start off a manga and 25 chapters in, it's like, we're in the middle of a fight and that's it. It's like, and I've seen what Shonen Jump has done. They've had some egregious endings. The ending of Hungry Joker to this day kind of ticks me off because it was like, we was in the middle of greatness starting, and then they did this big round table captain thing, like Aizen and Bleach with all of the freaking Espada around him. Like, they had this really epic ending, but at the very least, it was like they tried to give some type of ending. Like, literally, Aya Shimon could have been that, hey, we're at that final fight, and whatever, he decides to walk away from boss life or something like that. The fact that they went this route, like, oh my god! Because Aya Shimon's final chapter and final page were released, that got everyone crazy, and volume 2 and 3 will be released June 3rd and August 4th respectively. The series ended abruptly without any signs of finishing the story properly, nor are there any notifications of final chapters continuing on in Jump magazines like Magu-chan did, because there's other series, even going back to Neurorise of the Yokai Clan, when there's not a really good ending in place and there's like a decent amount of invested readers, usually they'll be like, okay, in one of our sister magazines will give you 3 extra chapters so you can wrap this up. They didn't even give him the courtesy of that. They just said, you know what, you didn't do it, you didn't meet our expectations, despite the fact that I felt volume 1 sales were not that bad. And I'm gonna actually give you a really good example of why they're not that bad, because we got some other segments talking about sales down in this episode that you're gonna want to check out as well. But in particular, one of the latest series from Kodansha magazine, I covered it here on the channel, called Gachi Akuta, just released its first volume, and the first week sales are in. And I'm telling you right now, unless otherwise I state, Gachi Akuta is probably going to continue on and be the next thing in that magazine. But its sales for its first volume after a full week out on stands was about 12,000 some odd copies. I want to say it was like 12.7. I'll have it here up on the screen so you can see it for yourself, but it did around less than 13,000, right? However, Aya Shimon from Shonen Jump did, with its first volume, about 16,000 in a full week. And Aya Shimon is ending, and Gachi Akuta, a different publication, is not. Now, you could argue that expectations are different. You could argue that maybe in that weekly Shonen magazine release and Kodansha for them, them, 12,000 is a lot, but for Jump, 16,000 ain't a lot. But there's plenty of other series that have continued to go on in Weekly Shonen Jump that did way less than even Gachi Akuta. So it's just kind of puzzling that we're probably within the next 3 to 4 years gonna see Gachi Akuta with an anime and everything, and Ayashimon will be a distant memory, a series with mad potential and Weekly Shonen Jump, really cool characters, cool fights, mafioso stuff and Yakuza and all of this really cool stuff, and it's not going to go anywhere because 16,000 ain't enough for Weekly Shonen Jump. And again, you could argue, hey, if that's their expectations and it's their magazine, then so be it. But my whole thing is, dog, you gotta give the readers some type of conclusion. You cannot do this. This is so disrespectful to literally stop. Like, just imagine, imagine Naruto just randomly ended in the middle of like the Rock Lee versus Gaara fight or something. Or imagine One Piece ended like in the middle of Luffy punching Arlong or something. Like, you would be like, what the hell are you doing? And yes, there were a lot of people that rocked with Ayashimon, so you cannot say that there wasn't any backing. It's just that Shonen Jump is a little bit bougie, fam. Shonen Jump on some bougie stuff in 2022. I don't know exactly what their expectations are, but it appears that 16,000 first week ain't enough, especially if there's no rankings on top of that to back it. And it's such a freaking disgusting shame. This is just wrong. And again, I say this often, but I will just show you guys moving forward of how I am going to react to Weekly Shonen Jump manga that don't have an anime backing. Like, I'm not gonna be the guy rushing to talk about it. I don't care. It's like, it's too painful. And I feel like I'm also cheating you guys out of like, hey, I'm telling you, yo, this shit is really awesome. And then if it doesn't pan out, then, you know, 4 months later, you're there invested in a series that gets dumped out. And it's like, oh, we gotta start from scratch again. So I'm going to very much so, as much as I love anime manga, try my best to avoid talking about the newer stuff until there's an established fan base, until I know that it's gonna stick around. And that'll take some time sometimes. I mean, look, Masashi Kishimoto's Samurai 8 lasted a whole freaking year in Weekly Shonen Jump magazine, and they still canceled. They threw Kishimoto out the magazine. So we gotta wait and see. But either way, I gotta stress that this is one of the most horrendous cancellations in Jump history. And I'm gonna start doing this from time to time in Forever News, in case you don't know, as of the release of this video, as you're watching it right now, unless you're watching it like a day after it's been posted, Black Clover's manga will return in 1 month, 24 days. And I can't freaking wait, man. I know a lot of people are like, yo, Feneb, where's been the manga reviews and stuff like that? It just doesn't feel right now without Black Clover. And I may do from time to time. I'll talk about a One Piece. I did talk about the Boruto chapter recently. I'm going to talk about Super. I'm going to slowly get back into it. But I think until Black Clover returns, I'll continue on here and there, scarcely doing videos and whatnot on chapters in particular. And when Black Clover comes back, you guys might see a whole new spin on reviewing chapters that I almost can assure you, you're going to love. But yeah, Black Clover, a month and 24 days, lads. We're almost there. Our magic gotta be that. Don't give up on waiting for the return, because yo, dog, woo, it's gonna be spicy. Y'all know how that cliffhanger went down. Then this one, I'm going to try to not spend too much time on, because we do talk about sales every freaking episode of Fedeva News, but this is very, very big. This is a huge deal, I'm gonna be honest with you. Because Oricon has released their official half-year comic sales ranking for 2022, the top 10, and things have changed. Things are shaking up. Obviously, there's still another 6 months essentially of accounting to go before we get a full-on demonstration of the most selling manga of 2022. But based on the halfway mark, some familiar faces and then a whole change. Like, at the very least, I would argue half this list is probably different than when we last saw it for the 2021 stuff. So for starters, straight off the bat, number 10, Blue Lock with 1.5. Don't we got the anime coming here soon? Is it next season or the season after that? When Blue Lock's anime drops, it's probably going to affect 2023, being realistic. If it's a fall season, I can't remember, I want to say it's fall, then probably moving forward into 2023, Blue Lock will be top 5. So Blue Lock already showing that another sports series is on the way. And again, I gotta just stress, it's so crazy that that's Kodansha and not Shueisha that has the sports series of this generation. That's a big deal in anime and manga world. Then at number 9, My Dress Up Darling with 1.723 million copies. A lot of people are like, what the hell is even that? I don't know, I'm hearing the anime is like okay-ish or whatever. It's just the title and the art isn't appealing to me. I'm just My Dress Up Darling, I don't know, I can't get jiggy with this stuff, my lord. You like how I did that little blend of, like, you know, know, the British and the Africanism. Yay! Number 8, Kaiju number 8, 1.858 million copies. Wow. Again, no anime. Still doing the damn thing. I gotta repeat. No anime and still selling big, and that's something that I'm only about 3 or 4 chapters behind. Actually, after I finish this video, I'm gonna catch up with this one, because I gotta start catching up on some stuff. I'm becoming a massive slacker lately, but without Black Clover, I feel lost, my lord. Number 7, oh, finally, the English translation of that series that I pronounced because it's selling well all the time. It's Do Not Say Mystery. So, Mystery Tolo Nakari. 2.4 million copies. Dope stuff there. Then, considering the fact that this series ended 2 years ago now, this is annihilation. This is insane that if they dropped one volume right now, it would probably be top 5 with releasing one volume. Demon Slayer, 2.5 million copies at number 6. Do you understand the magnitude of how freaking incredible that is? Like, it ended in 2020. It has not released a volume this year. I don't think it released anything last year. Did it? It might have been one volume last year. I'm not sure. But either way, that is astronomical. That is insane. And that's why Shonen Jump is slowly, you know, going through the anime, because they know they could still rock this for a while until they have to inevitably bring it back. Like, let's just be real, money wise they are bringing Demon Slayer back with another manga. I'm gonna keep on saying it. I don't know if it'll be the same type of story, if it'll be like, you know, a different era in the future. They're going to bring that back. Come on, man. Financially, anybody in their right mind would be like, so this ended 2 years ago, it has an anime that's boosting it, of course, that's the thing that made it pop to begin with, but ended 2 years ago, number 6. And this is why Shonen Jump is moving on with that model of end them now and then come up with the anime later. Look at what's happening with Marshall. If you think about it, it's almost as if they get to double dip, right? They get to get the manga sales, you know, little by little as it's going, and then they get to also have it completed and really push it as if it's an anime original, because a lot of people that don't even know about manga, they're gonna know that, oh, there's weekly updates of the manga. The manga will be done, and essentially it's kind of like they're writing off some pseudo anime onlys. Then top 5, we got My Hero Academia, 2.89. I'm interested to see, especially considering seemingly the My Hero Academia manga is supposed to end the end of this year, early next year. Let's see where that lands 2023, 2024, if there's no other manga, because Vigilantes just ended as well. But still, like, you know, I gotta give praise. 2.89, considering the fact that right now I'm noticing that there is a massive switch happening where a lot of My Hero Academia fans are kind of giving it the finger, just keeping it a buck. It's like not as beloved as it was even 6 months ago. Those are still great sales. Let's just see where it's going to go moving forward. I mean, I think in Japan, My Hero is pivoting. Over here in the West, I don't think so. Then number 4, shout outs to Goat Piece, One Piece, 4.1 million. Oh my God, still to this day, no matter what, I don't care. Yes, One Piece used to always be number 1. We're still 4, and we started in 97. One Piece fans, don't feel bad. One Piece fans, don't feel like it's all over. Look at it as, yo, dog, we already like OGs. The OGs is always going to get a spot regardless, and the OGs get a different level of respect. Like, yo, you can respect Spy Family, you can respect My Hero, you can respect Demon Slayer, you can respect everything on this list, but you cannot respect it as much as you respect One Piece, simply because One Piece been doing the damn thing longer than all of them and is still a king and a god. One Piece fans, I know y'all take this sometimes personal, and that's okay. You know, we gotta accept that some people, this is really, really important to them. Don't feel bad that like One Piece is dead. It's not. It's very much so alive and an OG and a different category. It's in its own race at this point with itself. Then number 3, gotta give praise though, I'm not gonna lie, Spy Family, 4.8 million copies, 4.835 to be precise. And I mean, yo, it was selling crazy without an anime. The anime is the only anime anybody talks about this season of anime. It's doing numbers. It's going to, could it pass the number 2 spot? I think it could, because the number 2 spot has slowed down astronomically, and it's solely going to be combating Spy Family with like newer volumes that it releases, because coming in at number 2 is Tokyo Revengers with 2.4 million more, I want to say. Tokyo Revengers at 7.2 million. Tokyo Revengers, I ain't gonna lie, it's kind of crazy and showing and a sign of the times, right? Because, yo, we just did a lot of Shueisha titles. In fact, I want to say a good majority of this one is Shueisha titles, but in order to, at the very least, it is something very notable to say that the number 2 spot is now occupied by a Kodansha manga that's very successful. And number 1, Jujutsu Kaisen, 9.3 million. 6 months. Jujutsu Kaisen Zero did it. Jujutsu Kaisen Zero helped that get there. 9.3 million copies. Oh my God. Hold on. Had to do it for him. I'm just saying that is amazing. Shout outs, and we'll see where this goes by the end of this year if these things could change around. I'm going to argue that probably, there's potential for Spy Family to surpass Tokyo Revengers. Demon Slayer might slide down, I want to say maybe one or two spots, depending on what Kaiju releases and what happens with Kaiju. I think it's safe to say Jujutsu Kaisen is going to be number one at the end of this year. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But the only one that could possibly take it is Tokyo Revengers or Spy Family, because they both have a lot of momentum. But Spy Family is so far behind, I don't know if it could get it done in 6 months. And Jujutsu Kaisen is probably still going to release another volume or two that'll accumulate another couple, 2 to 4 million. So we'll see. But as it stands right now, top five, Jujutsu Kaisen, Tokyo Revengers, Spy Family, One Piece, My Hero, Insane. Top 10, very mixed bag, and I like it. Okay, next up, we got a new trailer from the upcoming Dragon Ball Super superhero film, and everyone is freaking going crazy right now over this, because Goten and Trunks as teenagers is finally shown for the first time. I'm gonna watch this trailer in its entirety for the first time right now. I've only seen like little bits here and there. I haven't seen the full thing. Let's react. Okay, so we got some text. We got Goku. We got Gohan. Okay, so this is some familiar stuff. Those two. Vegeta. Hey, Pan. Gohan. Again, they trying to sell. Oh! Mystic Gohan. Okay, okay. Gohan really going in. They really pushing this Gohan shit. But, man, this the CG let. Ooh! Oh! Yo, that's what people are going crazy for. 2 seconds. Oh, they really pushing this Gohan and Piccolo shit. Wow. People went crazy for like 2 seconds. Goten and Trunks is in that for 2 seconds. And if I'm keeping it real with you, I zoomed in on those 2 seconds, and I'll have an image right here so you guys could just see what I'm talking about. Goten and Trunks, they look cool in terms of like, yo, they finally a little bit older, but the 3D CG at points looks so bad, and that's probably why they only showed it for a split of a second, because I saw like thumbnails of it earlier in like the day, and I'm like, what? Why? It's like everything that fans have asked for that they never delivered, they're delivering it, but they're doing it that way, so that way fans is like, oh, we'll forgive the 3D CG because they look cool, but they would look astronomically cool if it was in 2D. Yeah. Like, the trailer is dope. I ain't gonna lie. The premise of the movie, it sounds cool. It sounds Dragon Ball-ish. It sounds like, you know what? Wow. And because I'm Fenev and I do this here, let me give you guys a demonstration of what I feel like a lot of expensive corporations are doing right now because of the times that we're in, where the political landscape and the world is constantly shifting. But I have noticed with a lot of musical artists in particular that they're releasing experimental albums that some fans are kind of being mixed back and forth about it. And I think it's because they're testing right now. Okay, because right now, which you have no idea how much politics and stuff like that around the world, not just in US politics, around the world, really shape certain aspects of what's going to happen moving forward. It kind of feels like, again, this is just a test and an experiment to see where the world is going and how it's received, because they're giving everything fans would want. It's like, yo, everything we promised you, it's finally here. But it's in 3D CG. And again, when you look at a close-up of Goten and Trunks, they look cool design. The execution should have been in 2D and it would have been amazing. And I hope that they redo this movie in 2D. I hope that they've already learned that everybody is just not cool with it, and they're actually going forward and already drawing like a 2D version of this arc. Like, that would be kind of sick. Think about it. If they was to do these movies in 3D and then redo the movies from 3D to 2D for the anime. If they're doing that, then I will support this movie through the moon, and I'll support the next one and next one and next one. If it's solely that they're keeping this 3D CG shit to the movies, then why not? Whatever. However, if they start to, we're bringing back Super Anime and it's like this, I don't want this. I don't. But either way, Goten and Trunks finally revealed. Some really epic moments between Gohan and Piccolo. Always going back to that classic moment of Piccolo throwing himself in front of Gohan. It's like, since Toriyama won't really get involved too deep with the Dragon Ball production anymore. Like, I remember 3 or 4 years ago, he said, yeah, I don't got to do nothing anymore. I got a team now. They have to constantly go back to the iconic moments because they don't have a creative that is going to make them get those ideas that is going to keep moving forward. Like, you've seen the backlash with Super. Like, the average Dragon Ball fan usually says they love Dragon Ball, but they can't get with Super. That's so weird. Although there's plenty of people that love Super too. Now, One Piece fans that are waiting for Film Red, a movie that's going to be an actual 2D animation and that we're all excited about unanimously because it's called Red and it's about Shanks and his daughter, and I'm a father with a daughter, and yeah, like, that's the movie for us guys. One Piece Film Red will have an announcement that'll arrive on June 8th, and the announcement will be made in a live broadcast on YouTube. What the hell could that announcement be on June 8th? Maybe another trailer, or maybe another big thing, maybe the big villain of the film, or maybe a big plot twist of Shanks somehow, even though, again, that's one of the things that with One Piece films, I'm always like, oh man, like, you know, realistically, they can't go too far into the stuff we really want to see. Like, it would be insane if we're gonna get the big Shanks is what he is, whether he's good, bad, working covert, whatever it may be. You're not going to get that in this film. And that's what they're playing around with the fans. Like, you never know. You never know. I'm here to tell you right now, and I hope I'm wrong, but I'm not, that they're not going to show you Shanks's card of who he really is in this film. We're probably going to have Shanks at most for scattered around the film, about 15 minutes, him standing around looking cool, saying something. They might tease that he's going to run into Luffy, but let's be realists. We're going to this film to enjoy a One Piece film. We're not going to this film to get what we expect from the manga. Don't do it. You'll be disappointed. At best, we could get maybe something film Z-ish. That's the best One Piece film in my heart. So maybe we could get something like that, but don't expect that Shanks is working with the world government, or Shanks despises the world government, or Shanks is Luffy's great grandfather's uncle's left nut. It's not happening. Nor is that actually happening in the manga either. And quickly, while I got you here, One Piece fans, apparently Oda is recommending some manga, and usually when mangaka recommends something, it's probably because they care, I'd assume, about that manga and that story, because it said here, Akane Banashi Volume 1 is being recommended by One Piece's Eiichiro Oda, and I want to say that's a new series in Jump that just started. I'm wondering if they forced their hands, though, because I've noticed, like, I think it was, like, Horikoshi recently recommended something. Like, I'm seeing a lot of them recommending different works. It could also be just like friend thing, like maybe the author of Akane Banashi or somebody that's working, like, and you know, some of the staff or the assistants on Akane Banashi are like really, really close to Oda, and Oda's like, oh no, I need that series to succeed for my mans. My mans is over there. Shout outs to my man. So that would kind of be dope if that's the case. I just hope it's not the editorial staff at Shonen Jump saying, yo, pick a manga and recommend it. We need to push these things, and your word holds weight. Like, that would be kind of lame. But yes, people, One Piece Film Red, June 8th, big announcement. Please be a really dope trailer with some really epic art and animation leading into this film. I want this film. Like, if it's Dragon Ball Super Superhero or One Piece Film Red, it is One Piece Film Red 10 times out of 10. I'm just keeping it so real right now. I know Dragon Ball fans don't get mad, but it's that One Piece greatness, baby. Oda, go to! I put on for my city. Okay, so I seriously want you to pay attention to this one, and I want your perspective on this, right? Go in fresh with this one, despite what I tell you right now, because I feel personally like this comes across as a little bit of hate and opportunity. Hate and opportunity on both sides of this one. Now, in case you don't know, I've been championing the author of The Hunter's Guild Red Hood. It was a manga that came, it went, it got canceled in Weekly Shonen Jump, but it was absolutely amazing. The last few chapters were so meta, it almost felt as though the author was calling out the editorial staff down at Weekly Shonen Jump. It was phenomenal. Yuki Kawaguchi, and I just recently announced in the latest episode of Forever News that, hey, there's a new one-shot coming from Yuki Kawaguchi, and I'm like, he's gonna be huge. In fact, I constantly throw some praise at him over on Twitter, despite the fact that he never talks back to me. Yo, Yuki, what's that about? This can't be a one-way relationship. But then I see this and I'm like, yo, is this hate or is it love or is it both? Because a part of me feels like it would be in an author's best interest, especially if they have a series in Jump right now and it's like successful but not wildly successful, to probably hold back a potential star, a potential blowing, exploding star of a mangaka that I personally feel Yuki Kawaguchi is. I'm gonna read this to you, and please just get a little bit, you know, questioning at the very least. According to Yusei Matsui's latest comment, which Yusei Matsui is the author of, well, formerly the author of Assassination Classroom that ended, and now he's doing that Elusive Samurai manga that, again, nobody really over here is talking about it in the West. I'm keeping it a buck. I don't hear nobody talking about Elusive Samurai. It's doing, like, mediocre-ish sales over there in Japan, but it's there. And it seems Yuki Kawaguchi, the mangaka of Red Hood, is now working under Yusei Matsui as an assistant for the Elusive Samurai. Matsui is also recommending Kawaguchi's latest work, Nande Nanda-san, which, okay, let me explain, because you're like, yo, Fenev, there's no hate there, no hate. Let me explain. For starters, that is so freaking awesome of him to give him opportunity that'll also keep him financially stable for the time being until he could come up with his next work. Absolutely great. However, if, let's just say, this job that he has with him has him that he can't work on and focus on his own stuff, is that going to be like, Yuki Kawaguchi is kind of stuck under Yusei Matsui's thumb, and Yusei Matsui is kind of big brother, little brothering him right now? That could be my pride, that could be ego speaking or something like that, but a part of me feels like I look at Yuki Kawaguchi as he's going to blow up, whether it be his next series or one after that. I feel like he's probably what Kohei Horikoshi was was right before My Hero came out, when he dropped Barrage and that flopped. I feel like we're here with Yuki Kawaguchi and with Yusei Matsui. Like, yeah, dog, you know, you under me now. Don't worry, guys. I got the little guy. That's how I kind of looked at it to a certain degree. But at the same time, I'm also very thankful that, okay, you're keeping him in the business. You're keeping him in the industry. You're keeping him paid. So I don't want to be completely immature about it. But yeah, discuss. Let me know. Do you see any issue with that? Is that too much of my pride talking, lads? Or is it that I just believe in Yuki Kawaguchi so much that I'm like, don't try and block his star, because Elusive Samurai, you're going to have to move if you do so. But shout outs to both authors. And yeah, Yuki Kawaguchi, he's working as an assistant on the Elusive Samurai, even though he got a one shot coming. And before we end this episode, I just wanted to give a shout out to my guy Fooly. He just recently dropped his Seinen Jump album. It's a hip hop album. I'm actually on there. I'm not rapping. I'm actually just like doing a little bit of an interlude on one of the tracks. Go check it out. It's on all streaming services right now. My guy, been rocking with him for a long time. He's been working on this album for like 2 years. It's hip hop, but it's very anime themed and manga themed. And there's a lot of really good slaps on there. Like this joint Makima, Makima, Makima. I still freaking love that. And if you're like a fan of maybe artists like Lil Uzi Vert, you might like this one. Okay, people, so get ready, because it's about to be hectic. We're about to be talking about major change that is going down. A bunch of huge companies in the anime industry, including Wit Studio, the people that are currently doing Spy Family. They did the first three seasons of Attack on Titan. Likewise with Cloverworks, they did Promised Neverland, even though, ooh, but there's a whole bunch of stuff going down in the anime industry and much more. Definitely hit that subscribe button and that bell to get all notifications, because I'm going to notify you as this story continues to develop what's going down. Okay, people, let's cut straight to it, because there's a huge change that just went down in the anime industry with some of the biggest companies around. You name these companies, you know these companies, because I was shocked when I heard about it. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And rather than wait for the big episode tomorrow, you know, Mondays and Thursdays when we drop official episodes of Forever News, I was like, okay, from time to time, I gotta do these short episodes to let you guys know what's really happening right now. So let's read it so you understand exactly what I'm talking about, and we'll move forward, because this is big. Cloverworks, Wit Studio, Shueisha, and Aniplex form Joen Creative Company. Disclaimer. Animation studio Cloverworks and Wit Studio publisher Shueisha and Sony Media subsidiary Aniplex today announced the establishment of a new company called Joen for planning and producing animation works, including TV series, feature films, and short clips. An official website was opened with Japanese and English versions detailing the company's purpose, representatives, logo, and name. The name Joen is taken from three different Japanese words that read a supportive role, aiding smooth facilitation, and support through connection. While the three lines emphasizing join in the logo are inspired by the legend of the three arrows, a Japanese symbol of unity and teamwork. By bringing the four companies closer together, Joen stated that it seeks to establish a better framework and creative environment for the industry that will ensure quality is maintained while the people involved are prioritized across all levels of production, including directing profits back to them. According to the statements on the Joen website, this will involve collaborating with various studios, producers, and creators to match the best production lines and creators to each project, rather than moving all process through just one company. This is going to be major, and this is going to be good in so many different aspects. For starters, if all of these powerhouse companies are coming together, right? Because in case you don't know, these are huge. Aniplex, huge. They're just a freaking conglomerate. Then you got Shueisha. Do I need to tell you what Shueisha is? Shueisha is the publishing company that has Naruto, One Piece, Bleach, Black Clover, My Hero Academia, Jujutsu Kaisen. You pretty much name majority of the big dogs. They have that too. So it's a publishing company. It's Aniplex. It's Wit Studio, an animation studio, and Cloverworks, which oddly enough, I feel as though both of those companies, but especially Wit Studio, we know for sure, but also potentially Cloverworks, is that those studios were probably not doing well. Like, for starters, Spy Family, while it's a massive hit right now, the only reason they probably were able to produce it and are probably producing it at a quality that people are really excited about is the fact that they're collaborating on this, because Wit Studio had just announced that they were like, what was it, $4 or $6 million in the hole or something like that? Like, they just announced that not that long ago, and then boom, they have to do a collaboration with Cloverworks. So now you combine that aspect with, okay, Shueisha and all them, so that means that there's going to be a lot more capital to pass around which means also, hopefully, ideally, the anime industry is actually going to potentially maybe pay animators what they're worth. I'm just saying, it's a crazy idea, right? They're like, right now, no, boku no. Okay, boku no, that no happen, motherfucker. Like, I get it. Like, you don't, you know what I'm saying? You're trying to keep costs down, business, capitalism, all that good stuff. Yeah, I understand it. It's how things work. But this means that there's no excuse at this point. Like, it's not like, oh, we're a small studio. If all of you guys are working in unison now to create these things, that also means, too, that we're probably going to get a lot more bigger projects and stuff like that. Because think about it, right? Shueisha especially. I'd say out of all of these ones, I would argue Shueisha is the one with the biggest bag, then probably followed by Aniplex, and then probably the other two studios following that. But if they are coming through with the big, big bag, then it kind of just alleviates a lot of different issues. It's also going to bring a lot of projects. Also, this could potentially mean for more crossovers, like maybe certain titles that couldn't be touched. I really, really wish that Studio Pierrot was involved in this one. If you don't know who Studio Pierrot, they're the studio that do Black Clover, Naruto, Boruto, Tokyo Ghoul. I wish they were a part of this, because if they were, first of all, probably Shueisha would slap some sense into them, like, yo, the era of ongoing anime is over. We're going seasonal now, fam. That would be good. And also, again, the budgets would be there for, let's just say, even if they did decide to keep on going weekly, they would have the money to be able to turn out really awesome stuff, opposed to like, hey, okay, you know, we've got this weekly thing. Boruto might look like he just, I don't know, suffered a stroke, but here you guys go. Regardless, this is going to be a massive win. These projects that these studios have moving forward are going to have budgets. This also could mean that Shueisha, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, with this partnership, they could now have any titles, smaller titles, whatever, animated, funneled through this project of Joen. This is going to be more marketing, more promotion, Sony being involved. This is just a win-win all around. Honestly, this is really good. It's always better. Teamwork is always better. You know, the teamwork's the dream work. As cliche as that sounds, it legit helps move things. It legit makes things go a lot more smooth. And this could do nothing but benefit things. Now, it would be a different story if it was like, yo, Shueisha just bought up all these companies, or Aniplex bought up all these companies. Then it would be like, whoa, we're heading towards monopoly. But that's the exact opposite of this. This is a win. This could mean more projects that we are excited for. This could mean crossover projects. This could mean just so many different things. And I'm here for it, baby. Let's do it. And something else that I'm also here for is the top 50 best-selling manga of the week, courtesy of Jose_Ken. And off the rip, a series that we just talked about not even a minute ago, Spy Family at number 50 with an official fan book coming in already strong. This is insane. Spy Family, the takeover is wild. Spy Family is the only thing, I don't care what anyone says, the only thing holding down this anime season in terms of mainstream appeal, in terms of popularity. Nobody's talking about nothing else but Spy Family. That's it. It's like, there's Spy Family, and you might hear Fenev in the corner whispering, Tomodachi game, guys. And then they're looking at me like, get out of here, Fenev. It's Spy Family time. Then jumping up to 47 is One Piece Volume 102, 14,000, bringing his total to 1.6, and it 100% won't hit 2 mil before leaving the top 50, but still 1.6. Not bad, but just always, again, a reminder that One Piece is on the decline sales-wise, that's sad as it is. Then 46 is another familiar face, Rurouni Kenshin's Hokkaido arc, with 14,000, bringing it to 164,000. That is great, man. Kenshin to be selling at this particular point. I am very excited about, you know, the Kenshin series. I mean, I'm not a fan of the mangaka per se, but I'm a fan of Rurouni Kenshin, so shout outs to Rurouni Kenshin, I guess, even though it's kind of hard to root for because the mangaka does benefit from it, and yeah, different story, don't want to get into the nastiness. Then places 40 through 31, for the most part, not anything that is going to jump out at you immediately, although I guess at number 37 is volume 2 of the Inuyasha spinoff manga, Hanyo no Yashahime, aka Yashahime Princess Half Demon, with 16,500. I bet they'd be looking at it like, yo, that's pretty much like free money, right? Because of the anime promoting it and stuff like that. And Inuyasha, they probably look at it like, I'm sure they would love for it to be 160,000 sales, don't get me wrong, but that's still like, dog, grab a competent writer that knows how to write some shit and slap these characters and move. Then we got places 30 through 21. For starters, let's go to number 29, Tokyo Revengers Volume 27, 21,835 in total. I'm gonna ask you guys, you think Tokyo Revengers, this volume in particular, is going to hit a mil before leaving the top 50? I think it could be done done, but by the skin of his teeth, because his volume just ain't selling like the previous volumes were, like flying off the shelves. Then at number 26, Jujutsu Kaisen volume 19, 23,000, 1.6. It's crazy, dog. I don't care what nobody says. Jujutsu Kaisen right now is really the biggest seller when it comes to Shonen Jump at the very least. Like, if you exclude One Piece, considering it has like 20 million years behind it, Jujutsu Kaisen is number one in Shonen Jump, especially of the new generation. It is holding it down right now. If it wasn't for Jujutsu Kaisen, I don't know what Jump would be doing. Then 24, One Punch Man volume 25, with another 28,000, almost 300,000. I've been hearing a little bit of backlash for One Punch Man lately, surprisingly. Like, yo, what's going on there? I'm hearing people are finally starting to see, hey, they went off the rails and they're not following One's original idea. And yeah, I fell in love with the webcomic and all of that good stuff. So I guess Murata, get back to One's idea. Then places 20 through 11 is just damn near almost entirely Spy Family. Holy cow, volume 2, 3, 1, 7, 6, 5. And then number 13, Chojin X, aka the new manga from the creator of Tokyo Ghoul, with 43,000 in 5 days. That's not bad at all. I mean, don't get me wrong, it'd be nicer for it to be closer to the 100k mark, but I think things are going to turn around because I've actually been hearing a positive swing for Chojin X. I've been getting comments of people saying, yo, Fenev, Suishida's finally getting in his bag. It's heading towards Tokyo Ghoul levels of greatness. So this is something probably I got to check back into, because if Suishida finally took it to that level where people are saying, hey, it's getting to Tokyo Ghoul levels, that's something that I need to investigate. And then again, Spy Family taking 12 and 11. Shout out to Spy Family. Then the top 10. Very, very interesting. At number 10, volume 34 of My Hero Academia, 46,000 this week in 21 days, 579. And I still got a fan out the wazoo for Star and Stripe. I love that gal. Oh my gosh, she's so amazing, Cassie B. Number 9, really, really awesome to see, Fordyce of the Apocalypse, volume 7, 51,000. That's good, especially, again, this is a spinoff, especially, again, that the Seven Deadly Sins, you know, has just gotten a terrible name after all the terrible anime adaptations. So for there to still be a, you know, 51,000 that are running out week one to buy a volume of a spinoff of a series with a bad name, Nakamura Suzuki must be in his bag. Then number 4, A Couple of Cuckoos, volume 12, 65,000. I think the anime is doing numbers. I think the anime, or is it out yet, or was it the announcement that got people talking? Because I've been seeing that name, A Couple of Cuckoos, very frequently lately. Then number 3, Fire Force, the final volume, 34, and its 6-day run, 77,911. So that's really dope to end off. And honestly, that is a crazy freaking cover. That shit is sick as hell, yo. Shout outs to Fire Force. I can't believe it, man. Atsushi Okubo, this will probably be the last time we talk about him. Holy cow. Like, I'm lying. Never mind. We got the anime and the video games, all that stuff. I don't know. My brain went silent for a moment. And then Blue Lock, volume 19, 90,000, which that's pretty much right now Kodansha's like biggest title. So Kodansha's biggest title week one can do about like a 90,000 drop, unless I'm bugging. Which, again, it's crazy because their flagship title right now is a sports series. Like, they're gonna be known by this generation as, oh, isn't that the magazine with the like sports manga in it? And then number one is Uma Musume Cinderella Gray, volume 7. I have no idea what the series is. 132,000, but that cover does look lit. And yeah, very, very interesting and different bag of top 50 best-selling manga of the week. I had a good time with this one, and drop a like for this segment because I love it, lads, and I know you do too, mate. And then quickly, I had to throw this story in here. I had to do it because I was like, What? Apparently, there was a dude that was so dedicated to Hunter x Hunter, you know, the manga by Yoshihiro Togashi. And of course, you're familiar now. In case you aren't, go check back on the episodes of Fenema News that Hunter x Hunter has returned. It is coming back. Yoshihiro Togashi, the creator, he got a Twitter account. He posted up some little parts of chapters and whatnot. He apparently has 4 chapters, all of that good stuff returning. And there's this guy who live streams himself doing 1,000 punches a day until Hunter x Hunter resumes serialization. And dude, if you look at the picture, this freaking crazy. Like, he pretty much live streams every day doing 1,000 punches, and he went from look at his clothes or whatever 2 years ago, 1.2 million views, to just recent, his clothes are like completely shred. Now that could be that he just did it himself, because I don't understand, like, what the hell would you do punches that would make your clothes rip or whatever. But that was freaking absolutely hilarious that this dude did like 1,000 punches a day in honor of Hunter x Hunter in 2 years. That's a good scheme, though. Let's just say, hypothetically speaking, he was pulling our leg, right? This isn't legit. He just did it once in a while or whatnot. He wasn't consistent. Either way, if I say right now, yo, dog, until the next I don't know, until Boruto's time skip, every day I'm gonna bench press 400 pounds. Like, hey, you gotta believe me, right? I said it. Some dude named Chris on the internet told me. By the way, Chris, that's a meme. I'm not poking at you. But yeah, honestly, this was just something very, very odd, very funny, and I figured I'd share it with you lads. And let's wrap this bad boy up with the weekly Shonen Magazine author comments! Courtesy of Jose_Ke. For starters, let's jump into Negi Hadaba's Ranger Reject. An assistant who helped me with Gotobon and I ran into each other at Apex and talked for the first time in a while. Okay, dope stuff there. Then we got Yusuke Nomura, author of Blue Lock, pretty much the biggest manga in this magazine right now. I've always got Kodaku no Gourmet running when working at night. Is that like a show or something in Japan, maybe? Moving forward, we got Hiro Mashima from Eden Zero, Fairy Tail 100 Years Quest. Three new projects of mine are on the move simultaneously. My guy. So the latter half of the year is going to be crazy busy. All of them are for new IPs, by the way. And somebody sent me something, but I can't verify if it's legit or not, that there was some information in terms of like Eden Zero's anime and Fairy Tail 100 Years Quest and all that good stuff. But because I can't confirm it, I'm not sure, but they did hit me with that, so that's probably what he's referring to. And either way, I'm very, very excited, and I'm always inspired. Hiro Mashima, you inspire the hell out of me, dude. You're awesome, and I hope you see this. You're awesome. Ganbatte kudasai! Then we got Ken Wakui from Tokyo Revengers. I bought a vacuum cleaner. It's a Panasonic, and the smart brushes are awesome. Imagine he got paid to do that. Like, Panasonic hit him up like, yo, we got a bag for you, dog. Just mention us in them author comments, fam. We know that Feneva News is gonna cover it. You better pay me, Panasonic. If you pay Ken Wakui, you gonna pay me too. Then we got Kei Urada, author of Gachi Akuta. My back teeth are in pain. Also, volume 1 is out. Yo, dog, I love the marketing. Yo, they're creative dudes to market. Like, you give us the pain, and then you're like, by the way, volume 1 is out. Go support that shit. I saw it did about 12.7k first week. I don't think those are bad numbers, especially for Weekly Shonen Magazine. Go support that shit, bruh. Then we got Nakaba Suzuki, author of Four Nights of the Apocalypse. Due to certain subject matter, Seven Sins and Apocalypse, I've had the chance to draw a new character illustration. Interesting. Wonder what's going on there. Then we got George Morikawa, author of the legendary Hajime no Ippo. The fans of the Sanctuary team are Achilles. Don't know what he's referring to. Maybe his boxing tournament or something. And we'll wrap this one off with Yoshitoki Oima from To Your Eternity. It was amusing how I broke out in hives during Golden Week. That does not sound amusing. That is a very sarcastic comment and scary. Oh my god. I hope you're alright. Okay, people. Yes, Shonen Jump canceled another one. They canceled another manga, and it's like, yo! Seriously, I feel like a broken record now every time I gotta come in here and tell you guys, hey, Shonen Jump just canceled another one. Except this one, it's a little bit of a different type of case. Not to mention we got a whole assortment of stories anywhere from Dragon Ball to Bleach related to the circulation of Shonen Jump. Like, it's madness in here. Before we get into this one, definitely hit that subscribe button and that bell so you always notified on Feneva News and anything related to the anime and manga world. I got you covered. But we gotta talk about this, fam, because things is a wee bit hectic, to say the least, in Shonen Jump. Y'all know it's like I'm a broken record. Hey guys, they canceled another one. Hey guys, it's going to the end. Except with this particular case, keeping it a buck with you, it's like, hey, they canceled another one. Except this time,
nobody cares.
Now, obviously, I'm using hyperbole. There's probably a few people that are like, Feneva World, please, you're being an asshole. I care. Well, that's fine, but yeah. Because according to this, it says, Protect Me Shugomaru by Daiki Ihara has officially ended in Weekly Shonen Jump issue number 27. And that manga, I want to say it came like maybe a week or two before Ayashimon. And it's out the door following Ayashimon. And it makes me wonder, so hey, they got rid of Ayashimon. They got rid of Protect Me Shugomaru. Is Doran Dororan next? That just goes to show right there, that was a failed serialization round. Especially if Doran Doran leaves soon, that is definitely a failed serialization round. Because Ayashimon, a lot of people are hyped. Hey, Yuji Kaku's returning from Hell's Paradise. Oh! Hey, he's out of here. Then Protect Me Shugomaru, it was like, yo, this is the dude that did Kuisuru One Piece. He got serialized. Gone. And then Doran Dororan, it kind of didn't really have the biggest, greatest rep to begin with, because a lot of people weren't all that invested and were calling it generic early on. But so far, of the three serializations, it's the only one that is still here. But next week, it could be Bon Voyage! Like that One Piece ending that is like really awesome, or was it an opening? Either way, yeah, it's gonna be curtains for Doran Dororan unless it makes it for 2 to 3 more weeks. Probably Shonen Jump is gonna make it go, and that's because of an even bigger issue. Because yes, cancellations is terrible, it pisses us off. We want our manga, we want the stuff that we invested our time into reading and even sometimes money to continue on and have the proper conclusions that the authors had in mind. However, the constant shrinkage of certain areas of the manga market is what is spurring this on. I have no doubt in my mind because I here have some very golden information. Right here, this is very extremely important because it is damn near the map of what's happening in the manga world, in particular for the magazines that launch all these manga. In case you don't know how things work, oftentimes, majority of times, in order for something to get published into tankobon form, aka volume form, they basically release chapters in magazines like Shonen Jump, Weekly Shonen Magazine, you name it, Shonen Sunday. They pretty much, they're the ones that release the chapters, and then eventually they release them in volumes, and if they are continuing on, it's because they were probably successful, or the editorial staff believes in them. However, what happens when those magazines that are used as the launch pad begin to see a significant decrease in readership? And that's where we're at with things right now, and I'm looking at this right now, this information that I'm going to show you in 1 second. Wow, this is a real true-to-blue view of what is going on in the manga industry in terms of for these magazines like Shonen Jump and stuff like that. These are the big dogs. Because right here, courtesy of Manga Mogurori, it said print circulation of the three main weekly Shonen magazines according to the annual report on the publication market 2022. So this is again the big dogs, the three big dogs, which are Shonen Jump, Shonen Magazine, and Shonen Sunday. The three of them represent the three main powerhouse publishing companies over there, Shueisha, Kodansha, and Shogakukan. And I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to go from third place, I could see within, I'm going to give it 10 years, it could be less, it could be a little bit more, but definitely within 10 years, I could see that this magazine is going to be completely wiped out of existence at the very least in the physical form. This magazine, Shonen Sunday, is just like, the circulation numbers as it stands right now are 194,000 copies. And while that's still great, that is for one of the three biggest shonen magazines over there. One of the biggest magazines, period, that publish manga. So off the rip, when I look at that and I think back to like, yo, dog, at its peak, for example, Shonen Jump, the biggest one, would do like 6 million circulation numbers. This is doing 194,000. That is not great at all. That is not great at all. In fact, again, I feel like that is the writing on the wall that physical publication, at the very least for Shogakukan Shonen Sunday, is probably on its last legs. Like, just think about it for a second. The biggest thing in Shonen Sunday right now that is probably keeping all of the lights on over there, Detective Conan. What happens when Gosho Aoyama says, it's over, I don't want it no more? Now, granted, there could be somebody that could come in and they could say, yo, similar to like what's happening with GoGo 13, somebody else is going to pick up the mantle and keep it going. But realistically, dog, people want a conclusion. They want the, you know, black organization to be found out, who's in charge, all of that stuff. People want the answers already. And if they're going to, I mean, they prolonged it a lot. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure there's a lot of people that like Detective Conan is pretty much like The Simpsons to them. They're going to watch it every day after work or whatever the case may be, regardless if there's ever an ending. I feel at some point, because it's a series that, you know, warrants an ending. It starts off with, hey, there is a problem we need a solution to. How are they going to work that? And once Detective Conan does go down the tubes, or it ends, or whatever the heck happens, Shonen Sunday is going to hurt severely. It's going to hurt severely. But then moving on up to the east side. Hey, Shonen Magazine by Kodansha with 515,000 copies circulation. Now, those are numbers that are a little bit more sustainable. Like, Shonen Magazine from Kodansha will last a lot longer than Shonen Sunday, because Shonen Sunday is doing less than 200. This is doing over 500,000. So while that's still not sustainable because these numbers continue to decrease year by year, this will give them more time to figure things out. And on top of that, Shonen Magazine has made a severe increase and a severe comeback from being just completely behind with some of their titles. Series like Tokyo Revengers is bringing in readers. Series like, even though it ended, but Fire Force bringing in readers. Like, those are the big dogs. And then Kodansha themselves, you know, they got Attack on Titan and stuff, even though it ended. And I'm sure they're going to milk it with a spinoff at some given point. That's just how it be. Like, look at what's happening with Nagumo Suzuki's The Seven Deadly Sins. Now he got Four Nights of the Apocalypse. Like, I'm sure they're going to continue that. But in terms of Shonen Magazine, it has, I believe, To Your Eternity. It has Hajime no Ippo. It got some heavy hitters. It has Eden Zero. So that'll be around for a while. It's not great numbers, but it's still a demonstration that things is going downhill. And then the one that'll be here the longest, clearly, at number one overall of them with 1.391 million copies, Shonen Jump. This right here, I ain't gonna lie, this is very important information. I feel like we shouldn't have access to this information, but we do. Because 1.3, basically, let's just round it up, right? 1.4 million copies for that. Half a million for Shonen Magazine and 200,000. So 200,000, 500,000, and 1.4. Literally, you know, Shonen Jump absolutely blows Shonen Sunday out the water. This is probably also why they're doing these collaborations now. We're seeing a lot of the publishing companies working together. Probably Shogakukan was like, if we don't do something, like, it's over for us. Let's band together and try to figure some shit out. But this is still an indication, man. From the days of Shonen Jump doing 6 million, and, like, I think it was even, like, a year or two ago, it was doing, like, 1.9. Like, it's continuing to decrease. And this is why, probably, Shonen Jump is a little bit more picky, because they know they're at the lead, right? They don't want to lose that. Like, imagine if they just started decreasing all the way down to where Shonen Magazine, or, God forbid, where Shonen Sunday is right now. They would be in massive trouble. They got a lot of business invested in all of this, not just, you know, with their manga volumes and stuff like that. Shonen Jump are probably being more picky and being more cruel about, you know, letting series survive, because it's like, yo, our numbers on the physical magazine is going down daily. At the end of the day, when it comes to this magazine, probably, yes, they want big series to pop because of all the other business ventures. But in terms of series that are going to bring readers to the magazine, if the ratings and the rankings are really bad and they're looking for series that are going to help sustain these numbers in any fashion, that's probably weighing on their decisions too. That's probably why they're looking at, even if a series sells more than the next man, they will cancel that series if the rankings are bad, because they're probably trying to save their physical magazine from going under as long as possible until the inevitable complete digital switch, just like music did it. Like, it's just taking longer for manga, but the same way music went, that nobody's buying a physical CD, a tape, or anything like that, is going to be the same way with manga. And, you know, the volumes are going to be like a luxury item, so to speak. They're not going to be anything that is, you know, people like me, where you probably can't see it, but all of these freaking manga volume stuff like that, like, that's gonna be a thing of the past. It'll only be people like me that did the hardcore thing that are gonna still do that. For the most part, it'll be just like people just doing it digitally, and it's kind of crazy. But that's probably why Shonen Jump are the way they are, where, yo, you got three months, impress us, make our numbers look good, do something for us, if not, you gotta go, lad. Which, to that I say, okay, if that's the business model that you're rocking with, trying to save the physical publication of this magazine, that's all dope, but you're missing out on a bag, messing with fans. So again, they need to do something to remedy that situation. But hey, here's a little bit of insight. Actually, here's some very important insight as to why things are happening and series are getting canceled, despite the fact that Shugamaru, again, nobody gives a fuck. I apologize, that was so immature of me. Please understand, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Moving forward, let's talk a little Naruto. Y'all like some Narutos, right? Nah, I got a little bit of insight. We're gonna keep it in the rumor pile, but from my understanding and the way this is passing around like rapid wildfire, this is probably legit and accurate, that the Naruto franchise, they're doing something else with it, that honestly, it didn't get the greatest feedback that I seen the first time around. And that's that, you know, that they did the collaboration with Fortnite, right? Like, hey, we got Naruto, Sasuke, Sakura, I think Kakashi was in it too, and you had like the Kyuubi that you could, or Kurama, you could fly in him. I don't know if Kakashi was in it, but I know Naruto, Sakura, and Sasuke were in it. And either way, it was like a really dope drop that they had. Well, rumor is, apparently the same person who posted the Battle Pass leak posted minutes later that another Naruto collab will be released in June for Fortnite. They posted the image as a teaser for the collab. Recently, Epic began working on Kawaii 2 challenges. Kawaii equals Naruto challenges code name. And the characters that they're seemingly bringing to Fortnite is Kiba, Hinata, and Shino. And there's Kurenai in the picture, but I don't know if Kurenai will be in it. But either way, I'm like, I don't care. That's not going to bring me back to Fortnite. Not that I was the biggest Fortnite player in the world, but like, even my nephew, like, Joe, are you going to go back to Fortnite for Kiba and his dog? Like, yo, and my nephew was like the biggest Fortnite head in the world, in the freaking universe. This kid was freaking in love with that damn game, but that's not gonna bring nobody back to, like, it's a cool thing, and maybe they already made the deal, and they didn't realize, like, oh, wow, like, or maybe, who knows, maybe the numbers were great. Maybe that's why, like, even I bought the Fortnite Naruto stuff for my nephew, so maybe those numbers were good enough that they said, hey, let's do some more. Although, why would this be your second choice? Why not, like, I don't know, like a villain pass or something, like, legit, this doesn't excite me at all. And, like, it's a rumor, probably more reliable than just a rumor, but we'll keep it just to be safe side. Rumor, Naruto, more Naruto stuff coming to seemingly Fortnite, and it's Kiba, Hinata, and Shino. Meh. Like, can we at least get, like, I don't know, the last versions of them or the Boruto versions of them? Like, something more exciting. Like, dog, I play with these characters in 100 million. Do you know how many Naruto games had these kids in this shit? You think I want to play on Fortnite with them? You think, I mean, I guess for new kids, that's what they're aiming for. So, hey, there's that. Also for anime gaming content, like, there you go, if that helps your channel or that's your bag, whatever. Next up in some pretty freaking awesome news, I know you guys love you some Bleach, right? Bleach is pretty freaking awesome. Well, we got a little bit of news. They're definitely revving up, they're gearing up. Y'all know, in case you don't, we had a big massive trailer at the end of last year that showed us Bleach is returning with the Thousand Year Blood War anime. While there's been some wild rumors circulating that I'm going to wait until we get some confirmation on it, on what's going on behind the scenes with Bleach, ultimately something was released of something that they're doing that it's going to be spanning until June 14th for Bleach fans. And again, this feels like they're starting to get, you know, the algorithms cooking, so to speak, like getting Bleach into the algorithms, getting people excited about it, so that way when the Thousand Year Blood War comes, they'll be really hyped. Because this news for the most part is interesting, but I feel like it's really only like gonna affect the Japanese, because according to this, it says Bleach is holding a public voting from May 31st to June 14th to select episodes from its original anime to be broadcasted during July, commemorating the upcoming broadcast of Bleach's Thousand Year Blood War anime adaptation. And off the rip, first of all, I feel like what they're trying to do is, because, like, you know, off rip, they gotta start, in my opinion, in order to really, like, you know, get some of these people that probably don't care about Bleach, and they're going to be called fake fans because they never watched it, whatever. But probably in order to get some of those, you know, newbies that are going to just jump onto Bleach and never watch it or whatever, it would be smart to put like a recap episode or stuff like that. And they're probably thinking like, okay, we can use the analytics of people voting for their favorite Bleach episode, take those Bleach episodes, air them, you know, leading up until the anime's return. And those episodes, since the fans love them already, there's probably going to be other fans that love them too. So it's a smart idea using the analytics to see, like, you know, what's the pulse like for Bleach as it stands right now, and also again to get things cooking up. So all around, this is a dope thing. Honestly, if I had to pick, it would be the Turn Back the Pendulum arc. Like that whole arc right there. It was only a few episodes. It was, you know, Urahara's past and all that stuff. To this day, that is still some of my favorite stuff from Bleach. I have very fond memories of watching, it was like a summer. I was just marathoning Bleach, and I remember just loving that arc. It was so freaking good. And then, of course, like, Ichigo versus Aizen is another big one. Oh my god, there's a lot of stuff. Of course, the big reveal about Aizen in the first one, which, by the way, people were, like, hating off of that collab video I did where we was talking about villains, and they were like, oh, why you didn't bring up Aizen? Dog, I talk about how amazing Aizen is all the time. Relax, I could only pick one villain for that video. Chill, bro. Chill. But yeah, I want to ask you guys if you could vote, and I think you can, I'll link it in the description if you can, for like the favorite episodes or the best episodes of Bleach. Which episodes would it be? I think even the beginning when Renji and Byakuya took Rukia back to Soul Society, that was a powerful episode. Ichigo, the first time he unlocked his holo abilities, that was a powerful episode. There's a lot of really awesome. Oh my god, should I rewatch Bleach? Let me know. Either way, they're gearing up. Thousand Year Blood War, y'all know what's happening, and it's about to get more spicier, my lord. By the way, they also released an image alongside it that just says Bleach, Bleach Animation Best. And it was like screenshots in there from like a bunch of different episodes. I wouldn't be surprised if they already have some of the episodes picked out, because I see right here they got Renji's fight from the Soul Society arc. They got a couple of different panels or, you know, screenshots from episodes that are very impactful. The first time Ichigo got his Zanpakuto, pretty much, you know, episode one. Yeah, this is going to be fun. God damn it. Again, should I rewatch Bleach? I feel like rewatching it. Okay, now let's switch a little bit of gears. Let's go to some Dragon Ball stuff, because this one has rocked the community over the last few days, and I was like, okay, y'all want me to report on it? I'll talk about it. Fine. Regarding something that was said with Gohan and Dragon Ball Super. Now, a lot of people are taking this as, oh my god, what the heck is going on? I'm gonna read it to you first so that we get clear understanding of what's going on, and then I'll throw in my opinion and see what you guys think. The creator of Dragon Ball Super confirms who the strongest hero is. Gohan has been a wildly powerful character in the history of Dragon Ball, with the son of Goku being the first to discover the transformation known as Super Saiyan 2, destroying the nefarious Cell, and becoming a valuable protector of Earth in Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Super. With the next movie set to see both Gohan and Piccolo in the driver's seats, creator Akira Toriyama has confirmed that he believes that the father of Pan is the current strongest member of the Z Fighters. The official Dragon Ball Super Superhero Twitter account shared a new interview with Akira Toriyama, revealing that the creator of some of the biggest anime characters around considers Goku's son to be the strongest hero amongst the Z Fighters, even though he doesn't have God Ki at his disposal. Gohan is actually stronger than anyone, or so it's said, but lately he hasn't really gotten a chance to shine. In order to motivate Gohan, it takes his revered teacher Piccolo rather than his father Goku. I figured I'd try giving birth to a new superhero by putting these two in the spotlight through their intense battles with the Gamma androids. Gohan has a wild ride over the course of Dragon Ball Super, first starting as a fighter who could barely maintain a Super Saiyan transformation, but training his way back in a relatively short amount of time to reclaim his ultimate transformation, which he discovered during the Majin Buu saga. Yada, 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 yada. Honestly, I feel like they're playing us. I feel like Toriyama's just saying that because that's what the fans want to hear. That's what the fans have said all along, that Gohan was, you know, at the end of Dragon Ball Z, for example, he was the strongest, but plot made it that Goku had to be the one to take out Kid Buu. Like, that's just Toriyama talking. I'm gonna just keep it real because that sounds silly. Maybe of the Z Fighters, excluding Goku and Vegeta, if you're not counting Goku and Vegeta as Z Fighters, then I think that's unanimous. Yeah, okay, but if you compare those two alone, if you want to say Broly is now a Z Fighter technically, because he's technically, I guess, not a bad guy anymore, right? I guess he was like, honestly, Toriyama, this is another one of those. Toriyama said some shit, probably didn't even think twice. It was probably a marketing ploy all those times anyways, and Toriyama came to say some nonsense that, again, like, yo, Gohan is strong as hell. Like, stop, Toriyama. Please. Please. Stop yanking our chain already. We get it. Y'all want, you want us to watch the 3D movie, which a lot of people have been cooking me about talking about the 3D, but... whatever, I'll let it go. Fine. You love it, you want it, fine, whatever. It looks awesome, guys. Yeah. Then, boy, do I have a story that's going to make you probably laugh and question humanity even further, because this is just a little funny side story. It's a Japanese man that kind of went a little loquito, mijo. Él no sabe lo que está haciendo, diciendo esta mierda, mira esto. Japanese man spends $15,700 on dog costume to fulfill his lifelong dream of transforming into an animal. For his costume, the man, Toko, commissioned a Japanese company called Zebet, which specializes in sculptures and models for movies, commercials, and amusement facilities, as well as TV costumes and mascots. The costume reportedly took 40 days to create. Toko also went through multiple rounds of revisions, including meetings and fittings for the costume. In an interview with Minavi, Toko explained that he chose a border collie costume as the long hair can mislead the human figure. So essentially, this dude has, like, his whole life fantasized about being a dog and bought this dog costume. Imagine, no pun intended on that one. Imagine you're just like walking and you see like a stray dog there and you're like, oh, hey, dog. And the motherfucker looks at you and goes, nani sore? Dog, I would shit myself. Again, dog. This story, if it makes him happy and he's not hurting and bothering anybody, do your thing, fam. But it kind of just boggled my mind that this dude spent like almost $16,000 for a dog costume because he fantasized about being a dog. Japan, fam. Japan. Either that or he's trying to get in some shorties Japanese, you know what I'm saying? Just think about a dog, like, yo, he pretends to be a cute dog, he pretends to be a cute dog, she brings him over, and then next thing you know, he's trying to get a bone. And I'll refrain from any more puns and jump straight into the Shonen Jump author comments of this week. Let's start off the rip. I'm gonna give a little praise to Shuhei Miyazaki. They're the author of Me and Roboco. I'm so happy for the anime. It's thanks to all of you who supported me. I can't wait. I feel like if they execute this right, the memes and everything will be priceless, and I feel like the marketing is going to be very, very crucial for this one. The aesthetics is going to make or break this one. If the aesthetics check and the way they market it checks, this could be huge. If it is like, however, if they just do it like a straightforward thing, this will fall apart and me and Roboco will be out of the magazine fairly quickly. So I'm going to keep my eyes on that one. But then we also got Martial Magic and Muscles author Hajime Komoto. The Tori Soboro Bowl at Sukiya is high in protein and low in fat, so I recommend it for those on a diet. And I'm gonna write that shit down. Hold on. The Tori Soboro Bowl. What is that? Eiichiro Oda, creator of One Piece, said, "I get emotional over the transition from Tomorrow Never Knows to Fanfare. Congratulations on 30 years, Mr. Children." Okay? I don't know. Then, jumping down, we've got Gen Osuka, author of Doran Dororan, the last survivor of the recent serialization round in Shonen Jump. "I've been listening to the show What Did You Eat Yesterday over and over while I work. It's relaxing." Isn't there a manga called What Did You Eat This Morning or something? Or What Did You Eat Today? Yeah, right? Yuji Kaku, author of Ayashimon. "It's been a short time, but thank you so much for reading my series. See you again. Shonen Jump, eat a fucking dick." Hey, Yuji Kaku, you're not supposed to say that. Have some tact, man. I wonder if that was just like a side project to see if he could get something going while he waits for the Hell's Paradise anime to come out. Maybe he's going to return with Hell's Paradise 2 or something. I don't know. I've never really gotten into the series. I'm waiting for the anime. Even though I bought like a couple of volumes of the manga. Leave me alone. We got Gege Akutami, author of Jujutsu Kaisen. "The new Doctor Strange movie was super Sam Raimi and I loved it." And yo, it's kind of cool to see that this guy, Sam Raimi, like considering he got so much hate back in the day, that he's getting some praise here. Even though I saw a lot of people saying otherwise and that Doctor Strange wasn't all that, but I've seen some praise, and if Gege Akutami is praising Sam Raimi, well, now that I think about it, let me reread that. Hold on. "Was super Sam Raimi." That does, like, it could be that this is super Sam Raimi in terms of, like, it's cheesy as hell. And Gege loves cheesy as hell. So there's that. Then we got My Hero Academia's Kohei Horikoshi. "I adopted a cat and my life has suddenly gotten better. Thank you. Cafe Komaneko." And oddly enough, I've been recently changing my stance on cats because I was never the biggest cat guy. But I wouldn't mind having a pet cat. Is that weird that I never liked cats, but now I wouldn't mind a cat? And we'll round it off with the latest cancellation of Dai Miki Ihara from Protect Me Shugomaru. Volume 2 of Shugomaru will be releasing on 6-3 in Japan. It has 13 pages of bonus manga, so please check it out. Yeah, he knew the writing was on the walls that this was getting canceled because this is the author comments before the magazine that he's canceled in. So he was like, let me try and get a couple of bucks out of these volumes that I printed in this bit. Like, go buy that shit before I'm out of here. And I just wanted to end this off with a little bit more of Hiromashima greatness, the creator of Fairy Tail Eden Zero, Fairy Tail 100's Quest, Raid Master, video games. Like, this man is a monster. He recently posted a little bit of insight saying the new cast, Seiyu, opening and ending have been decided for the second season of Eden Zero, and the source was The Last Face of Mashima. I guess that this is like a place where he posts info about the upcoming stuff in his series or whatnot. He said he wasn't sure how many chapters of the manga they were going to adapt for season 2 of Eden Zero, but at the very least he's giving updates that a lot of things were in progress, so ultimately we could expect a little bit more updates on Eden Zero season 2 and all that good stuff coming soon. I'm just wondering how much longer Eden Zero is going to go, considering the fact that Eden Zero is a seasonal anime, and like with My Hero, you know, it ran already, what, 4 or 5 seasons. It was like the most popular thing in the world, and now going into season 6, it's ending the manga and stuff like that. So is Weekly Shonen Magazine going to start adopting that motto of ending it too, or ending the manga while the anime is still airing? Or it's going to be interesting to see. Also, quick update on the anime Bastard. I just got to give it to you because I'm really excited about this Bastard anime. It says, Bastard, heavy metal, dark fantasy. And there, here's a new main visual. It says the first core, consisting of 13 episodes, will be distributed on Netflix on June 30th worldwide. And I really, really hope Netflix gets this one right. Like, Bastard is so freaking Dark Snyder. Oh my God. I am so excited. Please, Netflix, don't hold no punches. Please make this shit good. Please, please, please. Like, if we got an opportunity to see some Dark Snyder and see Bastard all over again in a brand new anime, I want it to be greatness. It's what it deserves. But yeah, people, June 30th, get ready. I encourage you, watch Bastard. And yeah, people, those were the stories we have for today's episode. Curious what you guys think. Most important story, favorite story, anything that I didn't cover that you're like, yo, Fenev, why you ain't covered that? Let me know. That's all I have for this one. I'm Fenev World, and as always, people, have an awesome day. And remember the golden rule. Anime and manga for life. Bye! Have an awesome day. Peace in, and you guys just watched another episode of
Forever News.
Have an awesome day, lads. Don't forget to subscribe and hit that bell.
You are me. What I know. So just go to find me.